Ms. Terry, we'll go ahead and begin. One moment, please. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Apollo AP Rallo APAC Hub webinar on IANA's stewardship transition and enhancing ICANN accountability update on Tuesday, the 24th of November, 2015, at 5 UTC. We will not be doing a roll call as it is a webinar, but if I could please remind everyone on the phone bridge as well as computer to mute your speakers and microphones, as well as state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you for joining. I'll now turn it over to our moderator, Sylvia Vivanco, At-Large Regional Manager. Please begin.
Thank you very much, Terry. Welcome, everyone. This is our fifth webinar being developed jointly with the AP Rallo and ICANN's ICAP Hub and At-Large staff. And this is part of the implementation of the AP Rallo ICANN APAC Hub pilot framework, Focus Area 2, leveraging APAC for capacity and capability building. The objective of this webinar is to provide you with an update of the IANA stewardship transition and enhancing ICANN accountability discussions at the ICANN 54 Dublin meeting, including the current status and how you can still participate. If you missed the ICANN 54 meeting in Dublin, this webinar is for you. Our speakers today are Cheryl Langdonor, she's AP Rallo founding member and ALS representative of Internet Society of Australia. She's the ALAC member for the Asia-Pacific region and rapporteur for the Cross-Community Working Group, CCWG, on ICANN accountability, and the ALAC member for the Asia-Pacific region and rapporteur for the Cross-Community Working Group, CWG, on IANA stewardship. And as you may know, in June this year, Cheryl was awarded the second ICANN Multi-Stakeholder Ethos Award. We have Gia Rome Lowe. She's the Global Stakeholder Engagement Senior Director for Asia at the ICANN's Asia-Pacific Hub in Singapore. His role is to develop and continue to implement and evolve the APAC engagement strategy in partnership with key stakeholders in the region, expanding ICANN's presence and deepening its engagement in the region. We thank our speakers for their participation in this webinar today. And over to you, Ariel, for housekeeping rules.
Thank you very much, Sylvia. This is Ariel Liang, policy analyst supporting the ALAC and at-large community. I'm just going to show you quickly that we're going to use two pods in the Adobe Connect room to keep this webinar interactive. The first one is called the K-pod, which is the one that's right below the attendee list and right next to the agenda list on the in the bottom middle section of the AC room. In that pod, you can type in any questions you want to address the speakers, and staff will notify the speaker about the questions, and at the appropriate time, they will answer you the questions. But if we run out of time to answer the questions, we will let the speakers answer them in writing and then post them in the wiki room. So you can feel free to type in the QA pod in the middle bottom corner just to try out this functionality. And then the second pod we're going to use is called the poll pod, and we're going to use that for pop quiz, which will be one pop quiz segment after each speaker's session, and to keep this webinar interactive and just to test your knowledge, whether you pay attention or not during this webinar. So this is a functionality we're going to use throughout the webinar. And then at the very end, after the speakers finish their presentations and the Q&A session, we will have a three-minute evaluation session for four questions just to understand your feedback for this webinar. And then with that feedback, we'll be able to improve our webinar for the future. So Terry, do you want to run the first pop quiz question as a way for everyone to practice using this this function, and do you want to start?
Thank you very much, Ariel. And this is Terry from staff. As you can see, the pop quiz questions will now appear in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen, and you can just select the Ariel button for the voting. Our first question is, what was your engagement with the Dublin meeting, ICANN 54? I know nothing about it. I attended some remote activity or sessions. I attended many sessions remotely. I was in Dublin and engaged with the meetings of ICCWG and CCWG, or I attended Dublin and did not engage with the meetings of IGCWG or CCWG. Please cast your vote now. Again, it appears in the bottom right-hand corner. And while folks are filling that out, I'll go ahead and broadcast the results just so everyone can see the percentages of who was engaged during that Dublin meetings during ICANN 54. I'll now go ahead and turn this over to our first speaker, Jai Rung Lo. Please begin.
Hi, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jai Rung. I'm the Senior Director Stakeholder Engagement, calling in from the ICANN Asia Pacific Hub here in Singapore. Very, very happy to be given this opportunity to do an update. And also from the first poll, we can see quite a number did not attend, were not at Dublin. And I think this update will be very suitable for everyone in this regard. Let me just shift the slides quickly. And we can begin. Okay, so to start off with, this is where the start of the conversation with regard to the INS stewardship transition began. So in March 2014, the U.S. government announced its intention to transition its historical supervision of the INS functions to the global multi-stakeholder community. And since then, the ICANN and wider global internet community have spent a considerable amount of time in discussions to develop possible mechanisms to replace the U.S. government's role and to ensure that ICANN has the right accountability and governance systems in place to allow the global multi-stakeholder community to effectively exercise its role in the future. I'd also like to highlight our Asia-Pacific participation, which I have circled here in the slide. And while in the past we could have said that Asia is a prize taker when it comes to multi-stakeholder internet governance, but you see the number here, we have really stepped up in this regard, and I'm very, very pleased to be able to share this with you. And for those that have missed Dublin, the two topics, the INS stewardship transition, as well as the enhancing ICANN accountability topics, were the center stage of the Dublin Week. The INS Stewardship Transition Coordination Group, also well known as ICG, as well as the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN Accountability, also known as CCWG Accountability, hosted almost 70 hours of meetings, working, and engagement sessions, including presentations on behalf of their groups, to numerous stakeholder groups and advisory committees throughout the week. The result is both groups reached significant milestones, and we are now entering the final stretch of these discussions. For the ICG, further to the public comments period from July to September and the meeting in Dublin, the ICG has finalized their INS stewardship transition proposal, with the exception of one outstanding item. The named portion of the proposal is conditioned on ICANN level accountability mechanisms that are still under development in the ICANN accountability, the CCWG accountability track. Before this, sending this proposal to the NTIA via the ICANN board, the ICG will secure confirmation from the CWG stewardship that its accountability requirements have been met. And the full announcement and final report of the ICG can be found on the link here. It's on the slide. And currently, the ICG is also in discussion on potential implementation-related work, if there is any. This next slide gives a quick overview of the ICG's combined proposal. I shall not go into the details, but for those interested, please visit the link on the previous slide, and you can access all the information there. Now, the next portion of the update, of course, is on the CCWG accountability track. So, further to receiving public comments in September, the CCWG accountability has also reached significant progress in Dublin, as well as post-Dublin. Last week, on 15 November, a 36-page formal update has just been released. We encourage you to access the link in the slides to read the formal update in preparation for the full third draft proposal, which will be shared for public comment on 30th November with a 21-day public comment period that will end on 21st December. Well, I don't have time to share all the details, but I will take some time here to highlight some of the key items in the formal update. Now, let's take a step back first on the background. For CCWG accountability, there are two work streams. Work stream one highlights mechanisms to enhance ICANN accountability that must be in place or committed to within the time frame of the INR stewardship transition. Work stream two focuses on addressing accountability topics for which a timeline for developing solutions and full implementation may extend beyond the transition. So the upcoming third draft proposal focuses mainly on Workstream 1, with some references to Workstream 2's limits. Now, very briefly, here are some highlights regarding the formal update that was published. I'll just summarize some key elements. First is a revised mission statement for the ICANN bylaws, clarifying ICANN's mission statement while not changing ICANN's historic mission. The second key element is an enhanced independent review process and redress process with a broader scope and the power to ensure ICANN stays within its mission. The third point is new specific powers for the ICANN community that can be enforced when the usual methods of dialogue have not effectively built consensus. The listed powers on the slide on the right side are exercised through processes of engagement and escalation. Now, the three items that I highlighted just now are outlined, that I've just outlined earlier, are supported through the 2 points after the orange line. Now, these are additions to the ICANN bylaws to create an empowered community, which is granted the status of a designator, a role recognized in law, and has the standing to enforce the community powers if needed, as well as core elements of ICANN's governing documents, such as the articles and bylaws, being categorized as fundamental bylaws. The third area of other proposed changes includes areas that are highlighted here on this slide, so basically the recognition of ICANN's respect for human rights, incorporation of ICANN's commitments under the 2009 Affirmation of Commitments, and as well as improved accountability and diversity for ICANN's supporting organizations and advisory committees. There's also a commitment to discuss additional accountability improvements and broader accountability enhancements in 2016, following implementation of this core set of accountability improvements. Now again, community input is extremely important, and we need your involvement to ensure all the bases are covered. So I really encourage everyone to have a look at the formal update in preparation for the full third draft proposal that will be published on 30th November. Now, the next step and timeline. Pending no further changes or concerns raised during the public comment period, the CCWG accountability aims to submit a proposal to the ICANN board by mid-January. So in this regard, we can also expect the ICG to follow this timeline. As mentioned earlier in the earlier slide, that there is a link with the CWG chip on the naming portion that's tied in very, very closely to the accountability portion. So once both proposals are submitted to the ICANN board and transmitted to NTIA, that will mark the end of phase one. So we are kind of like at the last stretch of phase one right now. And that's when phase two will begin. And the rest of the time frame, we are expecting to see the complete transition sometime in September 2016, and that is also the time when the contract with between IANA and the NTIA will end at the time. So this time frame is roughly around there. And that's all I have for this update, and we will have further details that Cheryl will be able to cover. But before that, let's go into the pop quiz.
Thank you very much. One moment while I bring up your pop quiz. Once again, the pop quiz now appears in the bottom right-hand corner. The ICG has finalized its work and no more work to do. Is this a true or false statement? Please cast your vote now. Once again, the ICG has finalized its work and has no more work to do. Please cast your vote now. And Jai Rung, if you can please share the results.
Thank you so much. Well, this is kind of like a trick question that I put in regarding the ICG, because the first thing is, it has finalized its work, but we are still waiting for the CCWG track to complete before the ICG can submit its proposal to the ICANN board. The second portion is also that ICG will remain constituted as a body until 30th September 2016. In the meantime, they will maintain the ICG mailing list to ensure communities can still get in touch and schedule calls and meetings as needed. And as I mentioned earlier in my presentation, there's also discussing whether there is a need for implementation-related work. So in this regard, the ICG, while it has finalized its work regarding the proposal, it still has work to do. So the answer is false. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for being so attentive and listening to me. And I shall now hand over the next segment to Cheryl. Cheryl, please.
Thank you, Gina. I'm Cheryl Langdonor here for the Transcript Record. And I'm very pleased that you've broken the ice on this somewhat exhaustive, I would have thought, rather than just a time-consuming conversation that many of us have been deeply engaged with for coming up to a year now. Regarding some of what Gia Rong has just said to you all, we both look forward to answering any of your questions after our presentations today, but of course, at least with the matter of accountability and improving accountability for ICANN as an institution, but also for the work of the CWG on stewardship, there is still a little work to do. We did have, as updated in Dublin, pieces of, I'm just going backwards in my slides, which seems to have gone to the end rather than at the beginning, that a number of the points certainly on the CWG have been, in inverted commas, put to bed, and of course the report has been put forward to the ICG. But there are still a couple of matters, including, most importantly, the discussion now on the intellectual property aspects of the names and the main names to do with the management of those. The work is still ongoing within the within the CWG. And also that there is currently bylaw language, bylaw changes that are proposed as a result of the work of the CWG on stewardship, and that language has been prepared on behalf of the CWG by external legal counsel, and that language has only relatively recently and only just before Dublin come to the community's hands. But of course it also then has to run the rigors of going through the normal bylaw change proposal process that ICANN undertakes. So there will of course be opportunity for public comment and input from us all on that language as well. On to the CWG And yes, I have been silly enough to serve on and be a rapporteur for both of those cross-community working groups. But the CWG on accountability certainly has, as Gerong did mention to you, got to the point where we are entering this second phase on the timeline. But the CCWG on accountability's work will, with what he outlined as our work stream two activities, matters which are not necessarily critical or required for the transition of stewardship away from the NTIA and the US government, for matters that are not critical to that activity, they've gone into what we're called our work stream two planning, and that is yet to begin. So for the CCWG on accountability, as we come towards the end of our fairly hefty workload just for the work stream one, those things that are important and essential for the stewardship aspects to be done on in a timely and efficient manner, that we still will have ongoing work and commitment in the CCWG for our work stream too. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's plenty of time for you to all get involved in the wonderful world of improving institutional accountability for ICANN. However, after that short advertisement and hopefully a moment for you to switch gears to get to my croaky voice, I'd like to just bring you up to speed with a little bit of detail on the specifics of what the CCWG on accountability did, both immediately during Dublin, after Dublin, some of our outcomes, which Gia has indeed mentioned to you, but nothing like a little bit of review, and look towards our new full proposal document that will be coming out, as mentioned, on the 30th of November. So as we move to the next slide, Gia mentioned how many hours was spent with the various meetings, but specifically in Dublin, the CCWG held meetings from October 16th, which was several days before. This was the Friday before the opening of the Dublin ICANN meeting, all the way through to the 22nd of October. And these slides will, I believe, be available for you to download and look at your own leisure. And each of these is a URL link to the material, presentations, the recordings, the translations, all sorts of useful things for each of the meetings held during Dublin for the CCWG. We had a whole 8.30 in the morning till 6.30 at the evening meeting, which was our meeting number 60 of the CCWG in Dublin. That was a very productive meeting, and like all of our meetings, of course, was open to more than members, and indeed more than members and participants. And just on that, the CCWG, like the CWG, has a group of people who have been allocated to the role of what's called member. Those members, like myself, are there serving in the capacity of acting in the best interests of and representing a particular constituency or part of ICANN. I hold the reins for our region. Notice I wasn't saying our RALO, for those of you who are used to ALAC and at large. It was in fact for our geographic region that we did our appointments. But we also have a vastly larger number, at least three if not four times the number of people who attend our calls and who are absolutely equally treated and absolutely essential and in many cases taking leadership and pen-holding roles. Many of the people engaged in both of these working groups are in fact labelled participants. And as such, they're not formally allocated members as such, but their contribution is absolutely essential to our work, and it takes our numbers from somewhere between 30 and 45, 50 to well over around the 200 mark, and a little over 200 in both of our working groups. So participants are absolutely essential. We had our face-to-face number 60 meeting in Dublin, and like all of our meetings, including each of our teleconference meetings and our sub-team and work team meetings, our meetings are open and fully transparent, we trust, and accountable. But we enjoy having our meetings during ICANN meetings because it allows for so many more parts of ICANN community to join us. We particularly note that, for example, we get an increase in the people who are representing roles and interests of the contracted parties within ICANN, with the business constituencies and business interests within ICANN, and indeed with governments who are or may not necessarily be, but are often parts of the Government Advisory Committee, what we call our GAC, within ICANN, and where they're unable to attend the weekly meetings and activities we undertake, they are able to join us in our open meetings in these face-to-face situations, and their contribution is absolutely essential as well. Possibly the most exciting thing that happened in terms of moving forward and breakthrough of methodology and mechanism was what happened in our all-day meeting, which was held on the Saturday. That was the 17th of October, and that's the second one called the sub-team breakout sessions. This was pivotal to the outcomes of the cross-community working group on accountability's work in Dublin. We, at our previous face-to-face meeting that had been held in Los Angeles the month earlier for a much smaller group of people who were in a position to travel and attend to that face-to-face meeting of the CCWG, partway through that meeting we had found need to move to a different method of group think and of group discussion. And we ran a couple of breakout sessions. There was three of them and a remote one that was run on a couple of key questions that we had found some difficulty moving forward to full consensus on, or at least a shared understanding about. And based on the success of that activity, which I will be delighted to let you know was in fact managed and orchestrated particularly by members and participants from our region, and I was very, very pleased with how that worked out. We then held a full day set of sub-team breakout sessions on the Saturday, and this was quite literally a professionally facilitated and assisted set of breakout sessions where we had four different topics being dealt with and remote participation able to interact. We thought with just one of those topics, but in fact it ended up being able to have a walk around, in inverted commas, and interact with a number of those topics. And it was during those topics that things like how the escalation of an issue may be dealt with during the community process that you see in our update document that Jerong mentioned to you and that you will see in detail in our full proposal were hammered out and agreed upon. It was also where matters of how and under what circumstance and with what criteria replacement of ICANN board members or removal of ICANN board members could be instigated out under the five key community powers that our proposal continues to refer to, and indeed how any particular control or mechanism of veto or affect on things like budget could be exercised. So the work that happened on Saturday, the 17th of October, was critical. We stood around flip charts and we had professionals in communication capture what was being said by balanced and mixed groups of ICANN stakeholders and interested parties. So you had board members in each group, you had community members from all advisory committees and support organisations in each group, and you had usually sometimes as low as 11 but sometimes up to 25 people standing around and talking things through and coming to consensus and agreement. It was a joy to behold, and I could bore you all a lot longer with that, including pictures and video footage, but I shan't. Our engagement sessions and indeed then our working sessions as listed, meetings 1, 2 and 3, were much more bog standard, back into the main room, presenters presenting and people discussing and coming to the microphone to raise questions and make points. And I would encourage those of you who are interested or indeed newly passionate about this topic to take a follow of those links, and they are excellent ways of bringing yourself up to speed. So there was a few hours spent there, as you can see. However, after Dublin, we continued to work. One of the most important things that came out just at the end of Dublin was the distributed statement from the co-chairs, which was in fact presented by one of our co-chairs from the at-large community, from the ALAC, Leon Sanchez, presented a short two and a half page statement at the public forum at the close of the Dublin meeting number 54. And in that, there was a couple of high points that were covered that I'll just briefly cover with you now. First of all, it did mention that in the 7 days of meetings, as I just alluded to, we held more than 25 hours of formal meetings, but that was not all that happened. There were, in some cases, at least that many more hours, and in some cases more than 25 hours worth of additional discussions taking place in various sessions, including many that were run within the support organisations and the advisory committees. And of course there was the ever important hallway and mealtime conversations that were held on the topic. It really was flavour of the month, and I had a great pleasure in finding some time in, I think it was probably a government advisory committee coffee break, to have a very frank and fearless conversation with some of our support personnel for the Chinese members into our government advisory committee, and it was there that some very important questions could be asked and discussed, and I think therefore contributions from Asia Pacific being made back into the GAC room that would have, I think, strongly influenced what we saw in the GAC communique at the end of that meeting. There was also, and I think it really was appropriately called, an environment of collaboration. It was a continued and sustained effort by everyone, including our external advisors and our external legal counsel, to try and come together and work collaboratively and cooperatively on consensus. We released very important preparatory, we planned to release at that stage the very important preparatory document now known as the Dublin Update, and this is one of the things that came out probably about a fortnight, a midpoint between the Dublin meeting and where we are now. That's that 30-pager that Jiarong went into particular details over, and I will just briefly cover in a minute or two. And the link there, labelled Short Proposal Update 2.0, will take all of you to that complete document. Let me recommend this document to you because we had it professionally written. Now, that is a breath of fresh air for all of us, because whilst many of us spend ridiculous amounts of hours talking over these topics, very few of us are professional writers who can capture the essence of meaning and write in a simple language and clearly understandable way, like the professional writers we engaged for this short proposal. So it is unlike most of the documents you'll have read from ICANN before. It has lots of wonderful, and I think you saw a couple of the diagrams that Gina Rong used. They're clear, they're understandable. They are professionally developed by sources external to ICANN who have been in the trenches with us and who can take a more human view on what we mean when we start saying all these letters. But we also have text professionally written by a team of wonderful writers, including, I'm very proud to say, our very own Samantha Dickinson, who hails from Australia and is well known in the Asia-Pac region and widely in internet governance. So again, we're pivotal as a region in the outcomes of all of these things. I do recommend it's the sort of thing you can give your CEO and they will understand. So have a read of it yourself, pass it on to others. You'll find it a refreshing change from most of the things you read out of ICANN. And you'll be just as pleased to hear that we have maintained the same professional communication writers team to help us work on our full proposal document. So whilst our full proposal document, our full and final proposal document coming out on the 30th of November will indeed be a somewhat lengthier tome, we're going to try and shorten the actual document down to sit under the 60 or so pages. The appendixes may very well run into three figures, but fear not, the important bits, unless you want to get into the appendixes, you don't have to. All the important bits are, again, professionally written, and you might find that they are a much more refreshing read. But wet your teeth onto the short proposal document. And also, as of the end of this week, the 26th of November, we'll have held no more and no less than 10 more meetings since Dublin. Let's move on. So at Dublin, we did a whole bunch of stuff. We reached broad agreement to move forward with the sole designator as the new reference enforcement model for our draft proposal. And I do apologise, I have 12-week-old puppies and they have both decided to start rumbling with each other on my veranda despite the closed doors between where I am and where they are. So I'm not being attacked by denizens. I just have two very happy young pups playing with each other in the background. My apologies for that. Now, we have still got a couple of outstanding concerns, but they are relatively small, in my opinion at least, that are still being worked upon even by the meeting which follows the one we're having right now. Meeting number 69 starts immediately after our meeting closes. So we are still working on a couple of things, but in the main, I think you'll find this new thing, this new construct known as the sole designator, as a new reference model, which has very much come out of the Dublin work, is a superior way forward to minimise risks of capture and unfairness and maximise the opportunity for the community powers to be exercised in an acceptable and intelligent way in the extremely rare and I would like to think almost impossible situation where we would have to exercise those powers in the future. These are insurance policy-like possibilities. We do not intend on spilling the ICANN board, but should we ever need to, in some future point in time, with a recalcitrant or rogue board, we have mechanisms by which the community can do so, and do so in a fair, transparent, accountable and predictable way. We've got some fairly important defining consensus-based decision-making model conversations which are yet to be completed but are being completed even more so based on today's meetings of our work party one. We're getting very close to a consensus agreement on the decision-making model that goes along with our sole designator reference. We've confirmed support for the all-important enhanced IRP. The matter for a reconsideration request on an action at the moment is limited to very much process-based issues and is also somewhat limited by who has standing, who is materially harmed by such a decision of ICANN to bring an IRP request forward. Your accountability CCWG has since the beginning widened the ability for many more, including all in the ICANN community via an AC or an SO, to bring forward an IRP to be supported in the case of communities without the necessary funding to normally bring these legal review requirements forward, to ensure that we have expert panels who know what we are doing and what the domain name system is all about, with balanced and diverse global experience ready to roll on any IRP decision that happens. And most importantly, to also run the test, which is what happened in a outcome or a decision of ICANN within or not ICANN's mission and objectives. And that is a very important new additional test as a result of our accountability work. We've also looked at how we can be better able to put a very strong marker of objection into a process where the community has a considerable problem in some future of our one-year operating plan and budget development. And I want to credit the ICANN financial staff and our financial controller, Xavier, who have worked hand in glove with us on that, and they have been nothing but cooperative, helping us come to ways where community power to ensure that not line by line veto, but a serious concern by community can be flagged so that the ICANN board is required to look at a significant community concern that was to come out of some future operating plan or budget deliberations. We've also, as I said, basically from our fact day work, agreed with decision models for methods of removal of directors appointed by the various committees and support organisations, and that includes a complete board spill, and that has safety nets in it, including things like when one petitions, for example, for the removal of a board director or indeed the spilling of a board most particularly, the ACs and the SOs have to have ready alternates to put forward for the interim board. So we've minimised any unintended consequences. We're also talking about this interim board and indeed the board that would be under question in some future point in time operating under very much caretaker mode. And also, just so those of you with the financial controls of various businesses, you may have got nervous when I talked about community power to influence the operating plan and budget. The fallback position, should one have a successful petition which asks for a review of a particular operating plan or budget, ensures now, and we've made sure that it is a workable solution, that a minimal, a caretaker budget at a level equivalent to the previous year's budget for essential activities, including, most importantly, the work of the IANA activities. We certainly want our names and numbers still managed in the day-to-day manner. And so it would continue with all those sorts of expenses, paying staff, etc. All of that continues on at a equal to plus 10% of last year's budget level. So there is no risk, unlike some governments that we could mention, that actually can get themselves into a situation where services need to be affected. The services would not be affected by such a future situation. We've also confirmed support, and we are still clarifying some of the words and language, but they are fairly small and very specific points within the mission statement and commitments and core values for ICANN, which have been proposed. And indeed, at the meeting following today, we will have hopefully close off on some of those outstanding items. We've got a bunch of consensus agreed for very general human rights commitments to be woven into the bylaws, but a lot more of that will go on in future work beyond our work party one. We also have shifted things like the affirmation of commitments reviews, proposed that they be moved into our bylaws, which allows them to be enshrined in a future ICANN, and of course they are very important and effective accountability tools, so it's very important that we've done that. And we've worked over our work stream two list of things, and as I said at the beginning, that is work that we will be continuing. And the last point on that page just talks about a lot of the things that Jerome has covered off in his presentation. So whilst there's still work being done on mission and core values and some of the options for the community decision-making model, as well as some of the stress tests, and here in particular it is one called Stress Test 18. Stress Test 18 is one of the stress tests which as a result of our stress testing, looking at what constitutes a consensus of GAC for GAC advice, and therefore what would trigger the particularly high level of deference that is in the current bylaws of how the board treats such GAC advice. There was a proposed change in bylaw language out of that stress test, and we are still, as of just a few hours ago, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and looking at language that we hope may be middle ground acceptable to all of, if not more of, the GAC than it is now, as well as the rest of the community. That's one of those watch this space, and we will in fact be putting at the moment two possible sets of text forward to the CCWG at the meeting following this one. But I am relatively confident that in the spirit of collaboration, cooperation and building consensus, we will get there. With that, I just wanted to mention that with your expectations of the new document coming out, we've looked at a few particular high points which were followed up in the Dublin update. In these couple of slides you'll see in short bullet point form the key parts of that that were covered in greater detail by Jerome earlier in today's presentation, and that includes things like the sole designator model and our ability to work with the five community powers. And with that, if you would like to contact me, they are my details. And it's back over to staff, and if staff could stop the next call calling me, I would appreciate that.
Certainly, Cheryl, we'll take care of that. Were you also ready for your next pop quiz?
All finished by me, just pop quizzes to go.
Certainly. What is your level of awareness of the post-Dublin meeting output from the CCWG? Again, the pop quiz now appears in your bottom right-hand corner. Please cast your vote now. I am not aware of any output from Dublin. I am aware of, but not deeply, of the Dublin update. I am aware of and have read the Dublin update. I am fully aware of and would believe myself well-informed about the Dublin update. Please cast your vote now. And Charles, you could please share the answer.
Oh, it only works if I come off mute. Thank you, Terry. At this time of day, we also have the local bird population squawking, so I had gone to mute. I am delighted to say that the results show that almost 80% of us believe that they are aware of, but not deeply aware of, the Dublin update. A few of us believe that they are aware of and have read the Dublin update, but that's going to change after today. I know you're all going to rush off and download it and be very well and truly aware of it, and probably talking about it over your family meals by the end of the week. And I'm the one who said I was fully aware, but I couldn't help myself. Thanks, Terry. Back to you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And our last pop quiz question before the question and answer period, will you or your community be responding to the full proposal document scheduled for release on November 30th? Yes, no, maybe, or not sure. Please cast your vote now. And Cheryl, would you like to speak on this before we move on?
Very briefly, thank you, Terry. Yes, I'm also relatively pleased to say that the that the maybe vote is sitting at almost 36%. There's hotly pursued by the yes vote, which is sitting at 27%. A very low no vote, which is good to hear from this group. And all of you who are not sure, that's okay. We've still got time for you to respond to in a almost a month after the 30th of November, should you feel that individually or on behalf of your organisation you would like to respond. And that's it. Thank you very much, Terry.
Thank you, Cheryl. We will now begin the question and answer portion of the call. Please either speak your question by raising your hand in the Adobe Connect and we'll call upon you, or down in the question and answer pod, please type your question.
And Terry, Sylvia, I see Gunella has raised her hand. Gunella, please go ahead.
Thank you, Sylvia. This is Gunella for the record. I know that human rights was included as some of the work recommended through the CCWG, and there's a separate small working group there. And I commend that. That is very positive news. What I want to ask was, there's a framework of interpretation, and decisions will be made as to what type of human rights to include, if it's going to be established international human rights or whatever. I'm thinking, for example, of a Net Mondial Human Rights Principles, but they might not be appropriate in this situation, and I'm just wondering what thoughts there have been by that particular working group, how to move ahead with reference to particular human rights and conventions. Thank you.
Jerome, do you want me to take that?
Yeah, I think I would need your help for that, Cheryl. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Gunella, Cheryl, for the record. Happy to respond to that, but also very happy to suggest that if you want the real gory details, I'm going to send you to the recorded materials from the sub-team that worked on human rights under the leadership of both Leon Sanchez and Nigel Roberts. for the particulars of who felt what. But the language that's been proposed out of that work team is deliberately general and specifically limited in so much as it's limited to the mission and core values and activities of ICANN. We are not in any way trying to suggest that ICANN as an organisation needs to extend its human rights responsibilities more widely than those one would expect under a good governance model within its own activities. The specific language does refer at the moment to recognised international norms and quotes obviously the most well-known of those in reference. And in fact, it is that framework of interpretation specific work that you referred to that will be the focus of work stream two. Arguably, I want to point out, even now in the existing bylaws of ICANN, it does make the codicil quite clear that it respects all of the norms of international acceptance of what is human rights. But what the accountability sub-team has done has narrowed down and come to agreed language to go into the bylaws, which strengthens that, linking it specifically to the activities and the mission and core value of ICANN. So much of what you're asking about is yet to come, but it is a hotly contested and debated point, but one that many felt unless we got at least some language in under work stream one as opposed to work stream two may not have enough strength, and we've got that language in now. Happy to talk more later. The time is against us today on that topic.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, for that very complete answer. And we have another question. This is from Bo Young and is for Jiarong. What is the main difference between the sole membership model and the sole designator model? Jiarong, please.
Thank you. Yes, this is Jiarong speaking for the record. The difference is that the key thing, I'll just highlight one or two points. But Boyong, I will send you separately offline on email the full details. But just to highlight on the call, the key difference is basically when in terms of a sole member model in terms of enforcement, for example, in rejecting the ICANN budget, for example, when it's a sole member model, the powers are committed to the board fiduciary responsibility. But when there is a sole member model, the members reserve have the powers to the board are subject to the members' reserve powers. Another area, for example, is in terms of changing the bylaw. When there is a sole member model, it gives the sole member a given reserve power to reject the board's plan. And this takes away the consensus-making mechanism within ICANN. The sole designator model, it is only when there is disagreement in consensus building that's when the community comes together and they would then create a sole designator, which is from the community, to represent the community and then trigger an enforceable consultation between the stakeholder organizations and advisory committees, which can then stop or rather reject the board, for example, in terms of the ICANN budget or in terms of the changing the bylaw. So the key difference is this, is basically in terms of a sole designator, the community comes together and confers a right, a power to a sole designator, which represents the whole community in that escalation and in this escalation process to try to find a way to resolve the issue. But when there is a sole member model, what happens is that a particular group of stakeholders could come together and just decide that, oh, they will they do not agree with the board's approval of the budget, or they do not agree with the change in the bylaws, and they can reject it directly. And this then prevents the consensus-making mechanism in ICANN from being able to take its place and to run its course first. So that's really the key main difference.
Great. Thank you so much, Yaron, for that answer. I do not see any other question on the chat, and perhaps if you, some of the attendees have a question, they can raise your hands, please. Do we have more questions?
Oh, we were very clear.
If you allow me, I have a question, and if Cheryl is still with us for 1 minute or two, I read some of your comments are regarding the removal of directors, and there is a difference in procedures between removing a director appointed by the NOMCOM and a different procedure for a director appointed by the ALAC or ASO. What are the main differences between those two procedures?
Okay. Very briefly, and what I will do is suggest that with the release of our full proposal on the 30th, we will be running various webinars, and I'm hopeful that APAC Hub will host one of those webinars. We will make sure that we spend a little specific time on this question and any others that we might perhaps be able to gather in advance of such a webinar on our full proposal. But primarily the main difference is a logistically driven one, and that is for two reasons. The nominating committee only exists by year to year, so a new nominating committee starts fresh at every ICANN AGM, and the work of the previous nominating committee ceases at that time. And so unlike a support organisation, or in the case of the ALAC, the advisory committee that also appoints people to sit on the ICANN board, there is no continuity from 1 year to the next, and so it is far more difficult for something as ephemeral as an annually refreshed NOMCOM to go through and petition and have a support for a board member or even all of their board member removals. Remember also that the nominating committee actually appoints more than half the board. The ACs and the SOs appoint either two each, or in the case of the ALAC, one, and the nominating committee appoints eight of the voting board members. So it is, as you can imagine, it could be far more chaotic to have a NOMCOM petition for removal of any or all of its appointments than it would be for a support organisation or indeed the large advisory committee to go through the petition process and see whether they get necessary community support for such an action. But let's spend some more time on that in our hopeful webinar between the 30th of November and the end of the calendar year.
Great. Thank you very much, Cheryl, for that very interesting differentiation between the two procedures. Thank you. So now we are going to move to the next agenda item. Is the webinar evaluation, and we will ask everyone to please remain with us just for a few minutes, and Terry will take you through the questions. And this is very important for us to know how we are doing with this webinar. Over to you. Terry.
Thank you, Sylvia. This is Terry again. Our first webinar evaluation question is, in your opinion, is the webinar well-structured? Please cast your vote now. Our second of four questions. Overall, were you satisfied with the webinar? Please cast your vote now. Third of our four questions, what topics would you like ICANN to cover for future webinars? Please cast your vote now. And finally, our last question, please provide us any other comments or feedback. I'll leave it to this screen so you can type in your answers now. Thank you very much for joining today's webinar. We appreciate your time. This webinar has now been adjourned. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.